Let's continue reading verses 13 through 23 of Genesis 39. In this last section of Genesis 39, Joseph is imprisoned because of the false accusation of Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39, beginning now at verse 13. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Once again, a few background notes. Just when it looked like everything was going well for Joseph, circumstances changed abruptly. Joseph was charged not just with sexual harassment, but with rape. Potiphar's wife failed in her attempts to seduce faithful Joseph, and so she turned against him. In verse 19, we read that when Potiphar heard the story, his anger was aroused. With whom was Potiphar angry? With Joseph? Maybe, but maybe with his wife. Chances are that this was not the first time Potiphar's wife was willing to be unfaithful to her husband. And there's a very good indication here that Potiphar did not believe her story. Do you see that? What's the good indication in the text here that Potiphar did not believe his wife's story? He did not have him killed. Potiphar did not have Joseph executed, but put him in prison. For a slave to rape the wife of a high-ranking Egyptian official would certainly have resulted in the death penalty if Potiphar thought that Joseph was really guilty. In verse 20, we see that Joseph was put into the prison where the king's prisoners were confined. Now, this prison would be a cut above some of your regular Egyptian prisons, but don't get the idea that it was plush and that Joseph didn't suffer. Listen to what we read about Joseph's experience in Psalm 105, verses 16 through 18. "Moreover, the Lord called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons." Joseph was shackled. And we know that he was in a dungeon from Genesis 40, verse 15. Now, how long Joseph was in this condition, we can't be sure. But it looks like it wasn't long before Joseph's positive attitude was noticed and he was unchained and put in charge of the other prisoners. But it was more than Joseph's positive attitude that brought about this change. Verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And verse 23 says that it was because the Lord was with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. God was working behind the scenes on behalf of Joseph, in spite of the unfortunate circumstances that brought him into the prison. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Genesis 39. And we have two more doctrinal points about God's plan for the believer's life. So doctrinal point number one, God's plan for the believer's life may include false accusation. God's plan for the believer's life may include false accusation. Joseph was put in prison, but he was falsely accused. Joseph was totally innocent. He was the perfect servant. He had not yielded to temptation in the slightest. And yet he was falsely accused. The very evidence that proved he had run away, his coat, was used against him. How could God let this happen? God's plan for the believer's life may include false accusation. We know from the rest of the story that all of this was part of God's plan in order to bring Joseph to power. But can you imagine how Joseph felt at this point? If you were Joseph, would you have blamed God? You know, sometimes Christians are accused of wrongdoing, and it is not false accusation. Christians are not perfect, and sometimes they do wrong, and this hurts the testimony of Christ. Well, this is certainly not God's will for our lives. But sometimes God sovereignly ordains that we, like Joseph, will be falsely accused. If this happens, don't blame God. Thank him for the opportunity to be tested. Look to God for strength as Joseph did. You know, there's a great reward for being faithful in these situations. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Have you ever been falsely accused? You know, I know a Christian man right now who's out of a job because he's been falsely accused. Not a shred of evidence. And yet he was fired a few weeks ago on the basis of the false accusation of one person. I was able to share the story of Joseph with him and show him that even this can be part of God's plan for his life. God's plan for the believer may include false accusation. But it's hard to take when you're going through it, right? Yes, it is. But think of our Lord as the perfect example here. As the perfect servant, he was falsely accused, but he recognized that it was all part of God's plan, and we should do the same. Listen again to the words of 1 Peter chapter 2. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, for to this you were called. There's the plan of God for your life. For to this you were called. And now the example of our Lord is brought in. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Joseph certainly pictures our Lord here, doesn't he? Falsely accused, suffered innocently, opened not his mouth, as we read of our Lord in Isaiah 53, 7. Joseph is a beautiful picture of our Lord here. Our first teaching point for this section, then, should help us to follow this example. God's plan for the believer's life may include false accusation. Doctrinal or teaching point number two. God's plan for the believer's life will include preparation for the future. God's plan for the believer's life will include preparation for the future. Why would God allow Joseph to be falsely accused and thrown into prison and suffer unjustly? We know this was part of God's plan, but why? Many reasons. A test of faith, a test of character, to learn humility and patience, and certainly preparation for the future. Joseph was being groomed and prepared to be the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph needed some training in the affairs of Egypt and knowledge of the inner politics of Egypt. Remember, Joseph was a Hebrew shepherd from Canaan. Before he became prime minister of Egypt, he would have to learn the ways of Egyptian culture and society. Now, already, he has learned much by managing Potiphar's estate. Now he would learn much more in the royal prison. You can imagine how much Joseph learned about the workings of the government of Egypt, talking to the prisoners in Pharaoh's prison. Many of these prisoners would have formerly been high-ranking officials there in Egypt. And of course, Joseph was becoming more sensitive to the injustices of Egyptian society, something very important for a good leader, then and today. And then think of the time alone with God that Joseph had in prison, all part of God's preparation for the future. So Joseph's experiences, even in prison, were all part of his preparation for the future. God's plan for the believer's life will include preparation for the future. We see that in so many biblical characters, don't we? Moses, David, Paul. You read of their lives and many more, and you can see how the things that went on in the early years were all preparation for the future. And it's true in our lives as well. Whatever experiences you're going through right now, pleasant or unpleasant, they are all training and preparation for God's future plans for your life. That's the way God has designed it. For all ages, by the way. God's plan for the believer's life will include preparation for the future. Two quick practical applications, all right? Practical application number one. Don't jump to the conclusion that God is disciplining a Christian who is suffering. Don't jump to the conclusion that God is disciplining a Christian who is suffering. That's a terrible mistake to make. I'm sure if the Joseph story was happening today, there would be some Christians who would say, Joseph must have done something wrong. That's why he was thrown into prison. That's why he's suffering. But they would be 100% wrong. Joseph was not being disciplined for wrongdoing. Tested, yes, but not disciplined for wrongdoing. Now, it's true that God can use suffering to discipline wayward Christians. But don't jump to the conclusion that God is disciplining a Christian who is suffering. See that practical application? Practical application number two. Let's be extremely careful because of false accusations. Let's be extremely careful because of false accusations. We've seen that the false accusations can be part of God's plan. But that does not mean that we try to get ourselves falsely accused. In fact, we should be extremely careful because of the possibility that unbelievers will falsely accuse us. The enemy is always looking for opportunities to bring a false accusation against the believer. Those of you who are employees, be careful about using company time or property for personal use, even though it may be acceptable practice where you work. Because somewhere along the line, you will be falsely accused of stealing company time or stealing company property. Billy Graham said that he made it a policy to never ride in a vehicle alone with a woman other than his wife. And it was not just a matter of avoiding temptation, but because of the possibility of false accusation. Let's be extremely careful because of false accusations.